In Pripyat, the first snow of the year fell early on the deserted city and on the steel arch that hung over the sarcophagus covering the ruined Chernobyl power plant. The windless cold was appropriate for this urban tomb, but unseasonable for early autumn, and the below-freezing temperature and snow were confined to this small, desolate pocket of Ukraine. 7 Russian soldiers, 5 men and 2 women, arrived singly at the exclusion zone that enclosed the town, having entered the country in civilian dress by car, train, plane, bus, and boat. They were Spetsnaz Magi, Special Forces Mages. All of them claimed to be tourists visiting the ghost town, though the exclusion zone was closed for the day. The guardians of the exclusion zone were bribed to allow entry, or in one overzealous instance, temporarily subdued. Moscow, Precog, had been able to see high-probability paths for them and ran as far as Pripyat without interference from the Yuki Baba Yagas. Beyond that, their target stood across their timelines, and nothing was certain. Their weapons were necessarily a compromise, portability and concealment being greater priorities than for most operations. Though two had brought rocket launchers, as bullets might not suffice. They rendezvoused in the northwest corner of town. Pripyat's Soviet housing blocks still stood, ugly. With a quick look over, the soldiers assessed one another. 7 of the best combat magi of the Russian Federation, all here for one man. Though perhaps one of them was not truly elite. The tall one, codenamed Vasilisa, was unusually thin for a craft combat soldier. She was here for a psychological reason. She resembled the American's dead sister, Madeline. Their leader, a highly decorated major with the cryptonym Ugyen, had fought against Chechen shamans, Chinese border crossers, and mystic Bond wannabes from the West, and he was long overdue for a promotion. Ugyen's presence alone sent a clear message. The Russian craft authority had decided that the new power in Kiev was not tolerable. Ugyen held a monocular to his eye and scanned from right to left, then down the road that provided a long, clear line of sight in the direction of the melted reactor's tomb.
"You'll commence the search pattern."
He reiterated their assignments and pointed out directions, but even as he did so, his orders were moot. From the direction of the ruined plant came a false sunrise of craft power, glowing radioactive red. Ugyen raised his monocular again and saw a single man moving toward them along the prospect between the ugly housing. He was as tall and straight as any czar in procession. A gray shroud covered his body and legs, making his movement look like hovering. A mask gave him the gaunt face of a stiffened corpse with a rictal smile. His shroud and face were spotted with blood. It was the American they called the Red Death. For the first time in mortal memory, Roderick Morton was coming forth for battle. Ugyen signaled, and the 7 moved with incredible speed, with himself and 4 others taking positions that would attack the American from the west and drive him toward the river, and 2 flanking farther out to deflect an escape run. They found cover behind the carcasses of abandoned trucks and the brush gone wild. First, they would employ their clear advantages in number and armament. Simple physics always had its place. The cold eyes behind the Red Death's mask followed their movements and gave no sign of concern. Then, as if giving permission, Roderick nodded at Ugyen.
"Fire rifles!"
The 7 shot their automatic weapons at Roderick. Some of the bullets curved away from the American, some ripped through his shroud, and some seemed to pass harmlessly through his body. But some shots must have been hitting the American with real force because the impacts shook his frame, vibrating him like a drum. The American remained standing, always bringing himself back to attention. So Ugyen gave the next order, and his soldiers lobbed some hand grenades and fired the rocket grenades. Use of explosives was regarded as more dangerous in craft ops, because it was hard to have a good friendly fire protection chip when a mere miss would still be close enough. Pieces of the pavement and clods of earth flew up and out in all directions. The smoke and dust obscured the view.
"Hold fire!"
The view cleared. The American was down. Ugyen's lieutenant stepped forward from the left flank.
"Moving in on target."
Some instinct gripped Ugyen's heart.
"Halt!"
The unseasonable snow was still falling, which indicated that the American's craft might remain hard at work. Though the American was down, he appeared to be in one piece. And like many of his Hollywood countrymen, This man was known for theatrical treachery. Ugyen knew some theatrics himself.
Sis that fucker!
Like a practice range target, the American sprang to his feet, then ran. Not at Ugyen, but right for one of the women, impossibly fast. Ugyen thought he could see rage in the Red Death's terrible mask.